And I just want us to take 10 minutes or so for you quietly to reflect on the cross. And if you forgive me, it was a few weeks ago I prepared a lesson on the cross for a school. And I just thought, as I was doing that, how I haven't done that with our church and how we haven't reflected on the cross. So I thought it would be a good time just for us, using three different crosses, just perhaps to reflect on what the cross might mean for us. And so I introduced the lesson by talking about the El Salvadorian cross. And I don't know whether you know much about El Salvador, but these crosses were done during the Civil War, where there was much unrest, and there was much killing, and there was much poverty. And the Christians within that decided to decorate their crosses colourfully. They decided to fill their crosses with life, about how they lived their life in their everyday, in their normal, in their existence, in the struggles that they faced. That in their hopelessness, in the hopelessness of their situation, there is hope. And it reminds me of that lovely passage in 1 John chapter 1. Where it reminds us we know what love is because Jesus Christ gave his life for us. That is why we must give our life for others. And the cross is about giving hope in hopeless situations, in a situation of a civil war, in a situation where they were being oppressed by a dictator. The Christians drew crosses of hope. And there was one particular cross of hope that was drawn. And it was the cross of someone called Maria Gomez. Now, Maria Gomez was a Baptist. And she was a Baptist who lived in El Salvador in these troubled times. And she used to go out of her way seeking to show the love of Jesus as she taught, but also as she went out and she helped people, and she helped people learn who were illiterate to read and to write. She helped them so that they could get on and survive these difficult times, and she shared the love of Jesus. She was head of the Women's Baptist Confederation in El Salvador, but sadly, she was abducted and she was murdered. Many people think it was the government because she was seeking to teach the illiterate to read, to understand what was going on. But she taught the love of Jesus. And so the church decided to get an artist to draw a special El Salvadorian cross about her life. And here she is, I don't know whether you can see it, it may be on the screen. Here she is, and you can see her teaching at a school. You can see her helping with the crops and teaching people how to make their own food. Saw people caring for the poor and the hungry and teaching them. And they had this cross as a way of giving hope in hopeless situations. Because the cross speaks about hope. And that's why I love these brightly coloured crosses. And they mean for us that we can serve, we can give our life away because Christ demonstrated what true love was. And so one way to reflect on the cross, and you may can start doodling now if you want, is to think about the crosses I put on your table and whatever situation you find yourself in, however boring or humdrum or difficult or struggles it is, that you can talk about the cross as a place of hope in hopeless situations. Because it is the power of God and wisdom of God for you and for our world. And when I did this in the class, a lot of them decided to draw the Ukrainian flag on theirs. They decided to say, actually, there is hope even in hopeless situations. So the first cross, and I want you to reflect on, is the hope of the cross for you and for our world. And you may want to decorate a cross in that way. The second cross I talked to them about is the Bridget cross, which is an Irish cross. And I got them to make them out of pipe cleaners. And the Bridget cross, again, the tradition is of St. Bridget, she went to a person who was dying. A person, probably, we don't know whether it was the chief of the village, some reports it might even be her father. And as she was there, she made out of the flax, she made a cross, which has become known as the Bridget cross. And as she made that cross and gave it to the chief or her father, he was so inspired by the cross that he asked what the message was. And she explained to him about how Jesus died on the cross, as Hebrews says, so that we don't need to live in fear of death. And therefore, it is reported her father or this chieftain, and on his deathbed, gave his life to Jesus. And even though he died a few weeks later, he had no fear of death. Because Jesus came to take away, as the writer to the Hebrews says, to take away from the fear of those who all their lives live as slaves in fear of death. So the cross means we do not need to fear death or dying. And for some, perhaps tonight, who are grieving, that is a cross we need to know. We don't need to live as slaves of fear of death. And maybe you want to reflect on the cross as a way to take away your fears. The third cross I get them to look at is the Ethiopian cross, which is a very elaborate cross, which may appear on the screen if John's managing to keep up. There we are. A very elaborate cross. And I get them to make one out of paper, and the instructions will follow shortly. But the Ethiopian cross always reminds me of Acts chapter 8 and the Ethiopian ruler. The Ethiopian ruler who was reading that passage we had read this morning in the marketplace, Isaiah 53. And he says, who is this? Who is this person who died? Is he talking about himself or someone else? And Philip then told him the good news of Jesus, that Jesus was who Isaiah 53 is about. Because Jesus is the one who brings life and forgiveness and bears our transgressions and heals us. Why was the Ethiopian eunuch and ruler reading Isaiah 53? No doubt because within that passage it talks about eunuchs, it talks about the outcast, it talks about those who are forsaken, who are rejected, and about how they can come in to the kingdom. And that is through Jesus. So the Ethiopian cross, however elaborate it means, it reminds me that God is the God of the outcast, the forsaken, the rejected, those who think they're not religious enough, they're not good enough, cannot be part of us. The cross speaks that even those who feel they are rejected, they are outcast, that the cross means they are welcome. They are loved and they can come in. So I just love these three crosses as images of the cross to reflect what that cross means for us. It means there is hope for hopeless situations. The hope of the kingdom of God will come. It means that we don't need to fear death or dying because the cross shows that death has been defeated. We don't need to live as slaves in fear of that event. And thirdly, it means for the outcast, the rejected, the lonely, the forsaken, there is a place for us all as we come to the cross. So what I want you to do, as I did in that lesson, I want you to choose a cross that most reflects where you are at tonight. And you can either colour in that cross in your hopeless situation or the hopeless situation of our world or the normalness of your life, believing there is hope. Or you may want to make a Bridget cross, declaring that we don't need to fear death because Jesus on the cross defeated death. Or you may feel that you are an outcast. You're not welcome. You might feel that you're beyond the help of God. Well, the Ethiopian cross speaks to us that all are welcome because Jesus died. You are no longer forsaken or rejected. You can be included as you come to the cross. So what I'm going to ask you to do, and if you're at home, I hope you have some paper and you might be able to do this, is I hope that you'll take a few moments just quietly, just individually, and just prayerfully, just reflect on the cross. And perhaps think of one way that you can reflect on that. So there are cross shapes which you can colour in, like an El Salvadorian cross. I think we'll leave the instructions up for the Ethiopian cross, which I think is the next slide, John, which if you can follow those instructions, the CD is to draw the circle around. Or if you want to, you can try and work out with your pipe cleaners how to make an individual St. Bridget's cross. But as we do this, Heather has agreed just to play some worship over us that we can do this as part of our worship, reflecting on the cross. Thanks, Heather. Those scriptures over you to remind us of what this cross speaks to us. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Or from Hebrews 2. Since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, the Ethiopian said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. Let's hear what that is saying. Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, the wonder of the cross. What is the cross speaking to you tonight? Feel free to carry on, but otherwise let's stand together and sing as we've surveyed and thought on the cross. Let us survey that wondrous cross and all that it means to us, far more than those three things we've talked about. But those three things give us a glimpse of the wonder of the cross. Isaiah 53 ends, "Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." On the cross of Jesus, Jesus made intercession for the transgressors. As he came before his Father to show the horror of sin, but also how sin can be dealt with. And so the power of the cross means that we can make intercession through him for some of the horrors in our world, in our lives. So on this Good Friday, it just seemed appropriate that we spend some time praying for the horrors that we see on our TV screen, the hell on earth that we witness. And as Jesus on the cross showed that for what it was, but also provide a way for healing, let us spend some time and pray for that situation and other situations across the world and in our lives where we see the evil, we see the suffering, we see the sin and rebellion. But as Jesus on that cross with his arms opened wide, prayed for that world, let us too pray for this world. Lord Jesus, as we see those images on our TV screen, Lord, it seems very much the darkness of the midday on Good Friday. It seems the darkness has enveloped our world again. Lord, there is a darkness in the war and the violence and the suffering. There's a darkness in the disease and the pandemic. There's a darkness in injustice. There's a darkness where there is no truth, just lies. There is a darkness where things are covered up and concealed. There is a darkness where people aren't loved and cared for, where people don't even have water. Lord, there is a darkness across our world, and the cross of Jesus sees a God with his arms open wide in that darkness and intercedes in that darkness and prays for life and for healing and for forgiveness and for reconciliation. A God who cries out, "It is finished." A God who declares that that work on the cross is the place for healing and life and restoration and wholeness and justice and kingdom, where all nations will come and go in peace, in worship of the one true God. And therefore on this day, we too pray for our world. We pray for peace in Ukraine. We pray for change of hearts, of minds. We pray for soldiers to put down their weapons and say enough is enough. And we pray for peace. And we pray for the gospel of our Lord Jesus to continue to go across this world, that it is finished. There is another way. There is another hope. A hope that even death cannot destroy. And may this gospel go forth across our land. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so on this Good Friday, against my Anglican and Catholic colleagues, we are going to share communion. Because these lovely images and reflections on the cross are lovely and helpful. But it is this meal that Jesus set aside, that we could truly understand the meaning of the cross, that we could truly enter in to the life that Jesus wants us to receive and truly drink and receive his forgiveness through his bloodshed. And so therefore we will partake of this feast. We will share this table together as a way of remembering that the cross says it is finished, and I can receive the finished work of Jesus into my life, that I can give my life for others, that I can know that I'm accepted, and I do not need to live in fear of the future. And so we will share this meal because Jesus is here himself. As we prepare to come around this table and share this simple meal, Luke records in Luke chapter 22, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then this lovely verse. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Can we read it in a slightly different version together? Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And as we reflect on the cross, we remember quite simply how this verse sums up the gospel. That Jesus took upon himself humanity. God became a man. Because he loved. Because he loved you, he loved me. Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, or literally blessed it. And in his humanity, Jesus showed us how humanity was, how humanity could be, how humanity should be, because he blessed humanity as the only one who related to a heavenly Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit. He blessed humanity. He also gave. He gave his humanity. He gave himself. His body was broken. And he gave it for you and for me. The gospel in one verse. This is why we share this meal. But also the gospel for you and me. Because Jesus not only took on humanity, but through this meal, Jesus takes you. He chooses you. And you are taken. You are chosen. You are blessed with that relationship with the Father that Jesus had, with the power of the Holy Spirit he had. You are blessed. And just as Jesus was broken, so too we sometimes need to be broken. That the fragrance and the life of Christ may flow from our brokenness. That's why we experience brokenness, so that the fragrance of Christ will flow. And out of that fragrance of Christ, just as Jesus gave himself to us, so we give ourselves to others. Just like Maria Gomez, we live not for ourselves, but for Christ and others. That caused Henri Nouwen to say of this verse, I have found it helpful to use four words: taken, blessed, broken, and given. These words summarize my life as a priest, because each day when I come together around the table with members of my community, I take bread, bless it, break it, and give it. These words summarize my life as a Christian, because as a Christian, I'm called to become bread for the world, bread that is taken, blessed, broken, and given. This is the cross. This is what's been done for us. And this is what we receive. And as we share this meal together, I want to remind you that as you take the bread, I want you to know that you are taken, or better word, chosen. That God chose you. As Paul tells us in Ephesians, before the foundations of the world, God chose you. He took you. He loved you. He picked you. You are chosen. And as you take the bread, know that God takes you. He chooses you. He holds you. Know that you are loved as you are. Know that you are loved even if you feel you're alone, you're an outcast, you're forsaken like the eunuch. Know that you are taken. Know that you are blessed. And as you receive the bread, receive the blessing of a life with a Heavenly Father empowered by the Holy Spirit. And as we've been leaky vessels, let us again receive the blessing of God by His Spirit as we take this bread. But maybe tonight you feel broken. Broken by what you see, by what you witness, by what you experience, broken by what life has brought to you. And as you take this bread, know that it's in that brokenness of Jesus that life flowed. And know that in the brokenness you feel today, as you take this bread, the life of Jesus will flow. And then as you take this bread, know that just as Christ gave himself to you, give yourself to others. You may be weary, you may be tired, but come to this table to receive strength, that you may not live for yourselves, but you may live for the one who died for you, and live for others, to give your life away, just as Jesus gave his life away for you. That is the simple way we are going to share this meal, as we remember that as we take this bread, know that you are taken, you're chosen. Receive the blessing of the Spirit upon you to have the life of God, that God is your Father. Connect with God as Father. Cry out, Abba Father. And in your brokenness, say, Jesus, I surrender my brokenness to you. May your life flow through it. And then may you give yourself to others, to your family, to your children, to your parents, to your church, to your neighbors, to your colleagues, to your workplaces. And so in that way, we come to this table. Because that's what the cross means, far more powerfully than these lovely other ideas. That you're taken, you're blessed. In your brokenness there is life, therefore give. So let's take a moment to simply share this simple meal together. Can we have the verse back up and let's read it together? Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so, Lord Jesus, we come together now on this Good Friday to understand what the cross speaks into my life this evening. And may it speak that I am loved, I am chosen. And as I receive this bread, may I receive the truth that God loves me and I've been chosen by him. Lord, may I know that I am blessed, and as I receive this bread, may I receive it as it were a child from a father who loves me unconditionally, who will provide for me and bless me, and who will give me good gifts. And when I ask for the Holy Spirit, he will give me the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And as I take this bread, I take it from my Father, and I receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit. But in my brokenness, as I take this broken bread, I ask that the life of Jesus will flow with healing and grace in my hour of need. And as I take this bread, I think about who I can offer my life to. So, Lord Jesus, as you've asked us to, we remember the cross in the way you've told us to. Come and meet us in this place. And if you're at home, you may want to take your bread, because we remember that Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In your own time, there's bread on your table. Take it. Remember that you are chosen. Take it and be blessed from your Father and receive the power of the Spirit. Take it in your brokenness and know the life of Jesus in it. And take it and think how you could give the life of Jesus away. Feed on Christ as you receive the bread from him. Amen. Don't rush this moment. Feed on Christ. Allow him to let you know you're chosen, you're loved, you're taken. No one can snatch you from his hand. Know you're blessed. Receive the Holy Spirit as you eat the bread. Know in your brokenness there is life. Receive life in the pain and the suffering and the brokenness. And may the fragrance of Christ flow from that. And think how you can serve others. Surrender to him again in your exhaustion, in your tiredness, in your frustration. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Do you understand the cross? This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you. On that cross, Jesus interceded for the violence and the suffering and the war in our world. But guess what? He also interceded for you. For Carol, for Alan, for Rachel, for Margaret, for Joe, for Tricia, for Graham, for John. Can't go around you all, but you got the idea. Daniel. He interceded for you. So take the cup. Take the cup from your tables. It's poured out for you, the blood of Christ. Let us take the cup and drink together, knowing that we have received mercy, knowing that we have received forgiveness, knowing that Jesus was poured out for me. So as we take the cup, take it from Jesus and declare, simply using the traditional words of faith, even on this Good Friday, we declare that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Amen. Lord Jesus, those disciples did not get it on Thursday evening. They did not get it on Friday. But Lord, on Easter Sunday and on Pentecost, they began to understand and they stood amazed in the presence of their living Saviour. And so as we close our service, as we have reflected on the cross, we can simply stand amazed at Jesus and we preach Christ and Him crucified, the power and wisdom of God for our world, but also for me tonight that I need. We stand amazed in the presence and we worship Him. There we are. Let's say together as we go, Jesus, thank you for your body, taken, blessed, broken, and given for us. Thank you for taking, blessing, breaking, and giving us your body for the sake of the world. We go from here in your power and for your glory. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for coming out on this Good Friday. And hopefully you will be, after a period of reflection, will come ready on Sunday to declare the praises of Him who conquered the grave.